In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Bachelor Podcast. It's one of your co-hosts, Jared Fried. I'm here and very excited to bring on the co-host of the Behind the Rose Podcast, Blake Horstman. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely, man. Been a minute. How you doing?
I'm good. I mean, it's been legit just a minute. I was just on your podcast and we had a great time recapping the show. If anyone wants to go back and like go listen to that, listen kind of as an entree into Blake's podcast, which is great. Go check out my episode. It's called Behind the Rose Podcast. You guys recap the show. Give us the 1 minute commercial and why everyone should go subscribe to your show right now.
Go comment, like, and subscribe to Behind the Rose Podcast. We talk everything and anything reality TV and music. So we got a lot of country artists and new musicians coming out. So go listen to Behind the Rose Podcast. Appreciate it.
So I wanted to ask you about this. So we're going to do, this is a bonus episode. That means we're not going to like recap. We'll get into the show a little bit, but I want to hear about your, I didn't know you were a DJ.
Yeah, man. Been DJing all over the country the last, well, roughly about year and a half, 2 years. I mean, during COVID didn't, but yeah. Sounds wild.
So does DJing come after The Bachelor, or does it come, is it an interest before, or are you like, oh my God, I got this following, I got to go do something, and, you know, wicka wicka, you must get questioned on that. Like, I want to make, because I there's an eye roll culture to DJ culture, so defend it. What say you?
No. I do get asked this question all the time, and it's honestly a little bit of everything. So like, I was always the guy, like you can ask all my friends in college, all my family, everybody. I was always the guy like on the aux cord or cord, picking music, making music. Even when I was on the show on The Bachelorette, my phone, or not my phone, my playlist for the producer's phone would be the one playing all the time. So like, I've always been really into music, obviously.
You were the house DJ. Like that, yes, you were basically that. Yes, everyone's DJ. Like, Blake's got the playlist. And listen, I challenged you with a question that sounds douchey because I like you, Blake, and we get along really well. And I've always had fun when you come on my podcast or when I came on yours, but I definitely, like, I do, we all know that person. Like, we all have that person in the friend group. It's like, that's the playlist guy. That's the playlist woman. You know, that's the person we're going to. So this makes sense to me. Okay, so you're that person in the house.
Exactly. I was that guy, and I've kind of always been that guy for a long, long time. And when it really started, actually, so I was right off of Paradise, and Caitlin Bristol reached out to me. She was like, would you like to do my live podcast tour? We did, like, 10 cities in, like, 16 days or something crazy up and down the West Coast. And I was like, you know what? I'm still under contract. Like, I can't. I don't think the show's going to let me. So I reached out to the show and they were like, we can't let you be a host. You know, you can't like co-host with her. You're still under contract. Okay. But then Caitlin came back, was like, why don't you DJ it? We need a DJ. Why don't you DJ it? And I was like, well, like, I'll do my best. Like, I've never actually DJed on like a board, you know? So I bought a board, and I went out and I just like winged it, and I loved it. I became obsessed with the board itself and with the different ways of mixing tracks, mashing tracks. And so then I was like, this might be a career. This might be something I'm interested in.
See, one of my good friends is one of like the most famous DJs of all time, Cypher Sounds. And Cypher, it is interesting because like, I don't know DJ world, but Cypher's a hilarious comic now. And if you walk into somewhere where there's a DJ, he knows. It's like he walks around it like it's a whole different language. Yeah. It's a whole like, and people who know him, they're like, oh my God. Like, it's like, you know, they go crazy. So like, it is a world. Like, it's interesting to get like flung into it in that way based on Caitlin.
Yeah, exactly. It was literally, Caitlin, I always tell Caitlin, I'm like, thank you for doing that. Because then within, everybody kind of saw my videos, and I had a DJ who follows me. I'm good friends with DJ Silver, and he's part of the first ever like all DJ label. And he reached out to me to do this. Like, why don't you be our quote unquote celebrity DJ and come on my label. And I was like, fuck it, let's do it. I'm like, I'm in. And so I ended up taking classes. Like I went and took classes and I did like 6 weeks of like full on classes to learn how to actually do it. And it's, dude, it's such a rush, man. It's so, so much fun. It's a lot of work, but it's fun.
Let's go back to Caitlin Bristowe. I think that's cool. I love that. And Caitlin, what's she like? Because I've, you know, this podcast, we've gotten down, you know, I have been a vocal person, especially people have gotten angry at Kay and Chris and I for kind of trashing her and Tayshia a little bit, and more so Caitlin than Tayshia, and especially with last week with her doing a 10-minute thing on her proposal, it kind of looked like it was her season of The Bachelorette. Like it was just like, I don't know whose season this is. What's she like? I'm willing to change my mind on someone based on new information. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys are friends, but what's she like, and what do you think of the hosting job that she's kind of been put into on the show?
So me and Caitlin, yeah, we're super close. We used to be obviously way, way closer. Now I'm busy. She's hosting like one of the biggest shows in the world. So she's really busy now. And obviously me and Jason are super tight. So we're all very, very close. So I love Caitlin. She was one of the first people to defend me after Paradise. She took a chance mm-hmm. on me to come on this, you know, podcast tour. She kind of took a chance on me and ended up being great for me because I thought everybody hated me, you know? And then I go on this live podcast tour and I was like, oh, people don't hate me as much, you know? So she's always been there for me and she's great.
Yeah. She's doing you she's doing you a big favor. Like, you know, it's just being, especially, you know, just being like, hey, like, you know, here's an olive branch and she has her audience,
exactly
you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of like separate from, you know, it's adjacent to The Bachelor. They found her through The Bachelor and then they become her audience via podcast and all that. So like, she's definitely like, that is a very nice thing that she's doing.
Yeah. I think an olive branch is exactly the right word for it because at that time I was so dark and so deep, just like, I didn't know what I was and who I was. And I was like, Caitlin was like, mm-hmm. come on, like everybody still likes you, like come out with us. So that was really cool. And also with Caitlin, like, I think in a sense, well, it's fun. I believe that you got a lot of hate because she has some diehard fans out there, man. She has some diehard. That Off the Vine podcast fandemonium is insane. I've never seen anything like it.
I don't not like her, but I would say that my thing is that it feels like this is business to her, which it should be. So that's maybe not a fair assumption, but it does feel very plotted and like I'm going to get my podcast on the air. I'm going to get, you know, like, which...
Yeah.
You know, brilliant. I would probably do the same, yeah. You know,
like she, in my opinion, she is one of the most brilliant businesswomen I've ever met by far. And I think personally most successful in Bachelor Nation for sure.
So that's saying something about someone that should be, you know, to me, that should be celebrated. So I can, you know, I think that's a very fair and cool thing. Like mm-hmm. get your money and to create it, you know, people don't want to admit like when someone goes on The Bachelor that they can. There's a talent. There's an actual talent to taking whatever that was, whatever little tinder you were able to rub the sticks together to get and turning it into an actual company, an actual brand is very hard to do.
Is.
We all believe it's easy. It's not easy.
Mm-mm. And you can get it for a little bit, but Caitlin's 5 years maybe out of her season. And
it's
she's
a career.
Still, in my opinion, is making... She's more successful than anybody who's come on the show before her. And the cool thing about Caitlin, too, is she is very female empowerment. And she's done a lot for, like, a lot of women out there. And I think that's why people are so passionate about her. Whether it be good or bad, they're very passionate about
her. Listen,
yeah.
My mind's changed. I don't think she's a bad... I never thought she was a bad person.
Right,
but
right,
I'm saying,
right.
Like, I think the... I also do believe they've been put in a bad position by the
very
producers
difficult.
They haven't been given the total like run of the show to be hosts. Like if you're gonna,
we might have to go off mic here. Mike.
That's okay.
All right, sorry about that.
No, if you're listening at home, and the sound on Blake's end changed, so he had a little bit of mic thing, so he's gonna be off his mic, but you'll be able to hear him on your end. It just might sound a little different, but I would say that she's been put in a hard position by the show because they never gave her and Tayshia the reins. And I would also say they made it a two-person job and it's harder when it's two people that are doing it new versus if it was one person that was given all the power, you know?
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights out on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with this exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It is targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. It is amazing. I've been wearing it for years now. It fits me so well, and I'm not kidding you. When they say it doesn't roll down, it does not roll down, and it hugs you in all the right places. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. And for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As far as the hosting job itself, so the in-season hosting job, honestly, I don't think it's that hard. Like, they have a couple lines, you know, they kind of, you know, I don't think that's hard. But I think after watching this mental, I thought they did a pretty good job. Because and the after the final rose is going to be huge because that's live. That is live television. So that's okay. Gonna be huge.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Good. That's a real, and I agree with you. Like, whenever it came to Chris Harrison, I was like, yeah, during the show, whatever, but his job is 2 episodes. It's legit 2 episodes, and you either nail those or you don't, and that'll be debated. But so what do you think of this season? What is your kind of overall opinion?
So I am enjoying this season. So it took me a while, I'll be honest. Like the first three, mm-hmm. 4 episodes, I was kind of like, oh, here we go, like the same old narrative, if you will, you know, as far as villains, blah, blah,
sure.
For the right reasons. But I've started to get attached to some relationships. Like, I'm very interested in the Blake and Katie relationship, very interested in the mm-hmm. Craig and Katie relationship. And then I was interested in the Michael and Katie relationship until, you know, he left this week. But for me, that's why I watch the show. I don't watch the show for the drama. I really don't. I know a lot of people do, and that's perfectly
sure.
fine. Perfectly fine. But I personally watch it for, the relationships that are built, because I do like the love stories that come out.
Well, I agree with you. I think there's 2 sides to it. There's making fun of the insanity of it. And then there's let's dig into these issues. Mike, you bring up Michael A. and Katie. To me, it was very apparent that Michael A. Listen, I don't have a child, so I don't know how hard it is to call your kid and go away from the kid and then see the kid being like, where are you, daddy? Like, and I would imagine that is the most difficult thing in the world. Like, that is something I can't really understand. But when I saw him leave the show, it kind of, to me, I think he saw an out and he wasn't as into her as maybe he was professing to be. What did you think?
I agree with you. And you're the first person, because I actually said this on my podcast too. Mm. And I got actually quite a few people in my DMs being like, I kind of agree with you. Now I look at it, I think if you're like being on the show before, if Katie thought Michael was the one, or Michael thought Kate, well, I would say actually if Katie thought Michael was the one and the producers thought Michael was the one for Katie, there's no way he was leaving. They would bring his son in. They would have brought his son in, whether not necessarily to meet Katie, because he didn't, but just to
make it easier on him.
They would have found a way if they really truly thought he was the one. Personally,
I mean, I would, it's funny because I got so many, the DMs that disagreed with me all came from moms. You know, I had a bunch of moms going, you don't understand what it's like to have a kid. You know who didn't DM me? One dad. So I'm going to stick with my opinion, because I've ended relationships before. Have you ever broken up with someone?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you break up with someone, they go, why? And it's always easier when you have a ironclad, my son's at home solution than, hey, we're just not the match. Like, because to me, if you're going to meet the parent, like to me, it was more of an important decision to Michael than it was to Katie. Like, yeah. Katie was like, I'm going to be an instant mom. And you're like, I can't believe you're just saying that. And then Michael, like, that's a different thing. Like, it's different for Michael to go, I would have to, if it doesn't work out, I have to unattach Katie from my family who I've brought her in. You know, it's a different, there's different stakes.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I agree with you. Like, just like you just said, I have no idea what it's like to have a child and be away from that child, especially my podcast, my co-host, you know, made a good point. He was like, you know, that child lost his mom. Like, can you imagine the bond, even the stronger bond they have together?
Totally.
Because, you know,
totally.
So it's like that also. And then, you know, him trying to figure out if Katie's the one. Like, there's a lot going on. So I don't blame Michael for necessarily leaving. I just
not at all.
Yeah, exactly. I think in a way, if he thought she was the one or the vice versa, I think they would have figured out a way to make it work.
It's just convenient. And listen, we all look for convenient solutions when you get into a breakup. That's just the reality. Like, and it's, and also, I just want to reiterate, I'm still a huge Michael A. fan. I don't think he's a bad person. Like, everyone has done some version of this. And, you know, just like you said, like, I'm looking for relatability in these subjects on the show. Like, the drama is fine. And some of it, when it's created out of, you know, thin air, you go, all right, this is enough already. But when it's real stuff that people can relate to, that's when it gets a little juicy, a little fun.
Agreed, yeah.
Okay, so I have to ask you a question. As a DJ, we have three men left, okay? We have Justin, we have Blake, and we have Sensitive Greg. What type of person at a DJ concert would each of them be? How would you, like, there's different types that go to a concert that you play. When you DJ, there's a million different types. I wouldn't know. You would know better than me. I don't go to a lot of concerts. But how would you describe who at the concert is each of the remaining men?
I love that question, actually. So it's funny because I don't know much about Justin. I feel like I don't know very much about him, but his facial expressions are incredible. So I find him to be in the corner judging all my transitions, and I can see whether he likes the song I picked, whether he likes the transition I made.
Yeah.
That's Justin.
He's the eye roll guy who knows DJing and doesn't buy that a former Bachelorette contestant could ever be on the be a good DJ.
And then he leaves the show being like, fuck, Blake's actually not too bad. Like, that's
that's what you have to convince yourself so that you can, you know, get out of bed in the morning. I get that. Okay.
Exactly. So Blake, I actually think Blake is the guy front row going
wild.
Yeah. I think Blake is front row. I'm pouring shots in his mouth off the stage. Like, I think that's who Blake
is.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you 100%. Yep. Okay. And what do we put Sensitive Greg?
And let's see, for Greg, I think Greg is the one kind of in the back, and he's scoping out the ladies. I think that's what Greg's doing. I think he's scoping out the ladies a little bit. Yeah, that's who I think. And I'm not necessarily in a bad way. Like,
no.
But I think that he's kind of laying back and letting the ladies come to him, scoping them out.
He's good looking enough where it wouldn't be creepy.
Exactly.
if he was ugly, it'd be a problem. So, okay. Now, as a DJ, as the playlist guy, the self-proclaimed playlist guy, give me a 5-song playlist you would make for Katie. And okay. Listen, to the listeners at home, I surprised Blake with all of these questions. He's doing this off the top of his head, so let's not be harsh. We didn't do any prep for this. So
okay, actually, I got a couple. So, like, recent, like, you know, top 40 right now. I think the Olivia Rodrigo song, the fucking one where it's like, you know, the whole, it's basically like old school throwback. I can't think of the name of the song now. Where she's like,
I'm happy, you're happy and healthy. Okay, so good for you.
Just like yelling.
Thank you, Stacy, helping us out here. So Stacy, the producer, good for you by Olivia Rodriguez. Okay, I could see Katie jamming out to that, screaming that in a car. Yeah. Okay. Do we have any other songs?
More of a little bit of an alternative rock kind of girl, personally.
Sure.
I would throw a little like the Killers in there.
Okay.
I'd throw a little Killers. I can't think of that name of that song right now. For being the playlist guy, I can't think of the names of the songs.
I Google how to spell restaurants, so you're good. I understand the play.
So we got the Killers in there. We got Olivia Rodrigo. I'd throw in. I also think though she might like a little like hardcore rap, maybe not hip hop.
Okay.
But I think a little hardcore rap. We'd throw in a little. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Maybe a little Drake in there.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, a little Drake in there, and then honestly, I'd throw more classics in there with Fall Out Boy. I throw a little Fall Out Boy, maybe like
Love It.
Whitney Houston Dance in there.
Okay, so those are the 5. We're gonna post that on the Instagram story for the Butcher account. We're gonna put Blake's mix for Katie. Now, okay, let's get into some juice. Okay. Are you dating anybody? How is it to date? How does it go? How does it all work out? How do you meet people? And has it changed since the show to now? Give me your whole kind of deal.
Yeah, I am dating. I'm single. I am single, but I am dating. So what I always say
is, it a Raya situation? Is there a dating app in your? What are you using?
I'm actually on the wait list with Raya for about 3 years now. So I'm a little. Yeah, man. I think they just forgot about me. I didn't take it serious. So I was like, I'll get led on, and then I'm on the way.
Oh, this is horrible. Okay, you got to DM them or something.
I know. I need to call them. That's what everybody tells me. Just call them. But, I mean, I always say, like, dating hasn't necessarily gotten easier or harder. It's just, it's different. Like, before the show, it was a lot, maybe, you know, harder to get dates, but, like, the dates were a lot better. Where now it's easier to get dates, but not necessarily know the intention of the dates, you know, and kind of, like, sometimes they come in knowing everything about me, and it's kind of a little bit weird moments. So that's hard.
And to add to that, you're in a weird position, and I think this is the hardest position in the world, where you are not allowed to assume that anyone knows anything about you, because you would be a dickhead. And like, if you went on the date and you assume that like someone knows your history, even if they did, they could go, oh, he's so full of himself. He thinks everyone knows everything about him. Like, and some people who do know everything about you play it like they do the, you know, the game where they go, I don't who?
Yeah.
I don't even
know. You have a sister, or you know, you're like, where are you from? You know, like one of those. So right, because then I'm a douchebag if I assume it. It is a little difficult. It's different. It's just
someone's listening right now being like, oh, life is so hard. Too many dates where someone knows everything about you and won't admit it. Oh, wah. Yeah. So.
And it is weird coming off the show, because there's like no in between. Either you meet people who like know exactly who you are and everything about you, or they know nothing about you. So it's kind of hard to navigate that. There's like a weird.
Listen, I've had this happen where someone will be like, Jared, and I'll be like, I have no file, you know, the small amount of people who know me, but Jared, and I have made the mistake where I go, yes, and they're like, they're like, from college, we know each other from college, you know me, and I'm like, okay, sorry, I'm an asshole, yeah, and you make that mistake once, you feel it down your spine, and you're like, ugh.
I did this thing too where like I'll forget I've met people and then they're like, you know me. We met like five times. Like, fuck. I did it last night. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
There's nobody. No. But there's nobody more annoying than the you know me person. that person is an asshole. Because when I go up to someone who I know and I'm not sure if they know me, I go, hey, I'm Jared. We met 3 years ago. It was, this place. Remember the coffee shop? Like, I coach them up and I think that is a favor I'm doing them. Right? Like, who's looking? Who is that asshole looking to get in a situation where they go, you know me, and just stare at you?
Yep.
It's like, dude, how much time do you have?
So true.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's the last date you went on and how did you meet the person?
Like legitimate date.
Legit date. Not you hanging at a bar in Denver, just putting the vibe out there like Greg, you know, like sensitive Greg.
Yeah. It would have been about 6 weeks ago, maybe a month to 6 weeks ago. A girl who I've known for a really long time and she just happened to be back in town. And I was like, hey, do you want to grab a drink? And it was something like that. But I will admit, like, this DJing thing where I'm gone every single weekend, I do multiple cities a weekend. It's hard. Like, I don't think it would be hard if I'm in a relationship. I don't think it'd be that hard because I only work like 3 days a week and then I come home and it's great. Mm-hmm. I bring home work home with me. But right now it is hard to like meet somebody. I'll admit that. But once I'm in a relationship, it'll be okay. But it's hard to meet somebody right now traveling as much as I do. So
the travel makes it hard. I'm coming to you live from Orlando right now. So I understand the travel life is difficult. Now, what's the word? What constitutes a bad DJ gig? Like, you know, you're in this new industry. Like, listen, I do stand up. I know when I walk in and someone says, "Yeah, you're gonna go stand on that stoop over there," and it's, you know, it's about seven people outside, and they'll be milling around. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
I know a bad stand up show. I can see it from 1,000 miles away. What constitutes a bad DJ show?
Yeah, so
a hell gig. And do you have a hell gig story?
Yeah, I do got one actually. It was my first. So I got pretty lucky. Because of my, you know, following, if you will, and like I go to YouTube where. So I've been lucky enough where I've skipped that weird time where like I'm playing for 6 hours at a pool party and nobody even looks at me. You know, I kind of skipped that. Like I go to, I'm like more or less headlining, you know, right now. So I feel very lucky. And
but that's an acknowledge, you know, I'm sure there's DJs out there who are happy you're acknowledging that. Like
you didn't
have to go to the cocktail party for the office party where they were wanting to be a little bit more cool than just the normal, you know, you know, workplace. Yeah, I get that.
I've never had to DJ a wedding. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I kind of skipped that.
You've never had to introduce the bride and groom and their douchey friends with their horrible entrances. Yeah, that sucks. Okay, so what's the worst one?
So the one thing that I always say that I'm not the best. I'm getting good. I'm pretty good now. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I do have is the energy. Like I can interact with the crowd very, very well, and I can bring energy up in a crowd, and that's something I pride myself on. But I'll never forget. I'm not going to say the city because everybody will know. But
all the cities are the best cities you've ever been to. I get it.
But recently I did one, and it was exactly like you said. Like, I walk in, I was like, there's not very many people here. It was like a weekday. I was like, there's not very many people here. And then I kind of went up on stage, and there was multiple buttons broken on the deck, on the board,
oh, no.
And buttons that I used. So I was like, whoa. And then the host, more or less, like my contact,
yeah,
blacked out, like could barely walk. And
oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So I played for maybe 90 minutes, and I was just like, I got to get out of here. I was like, this is.
I mean, not having, first of all, how long's a normal set? 90 minutes sounds like a long time.
2 hours usually is like a normal set, roughly.
2 hours. And not having the buttons, like, what's going on? Like, how do you do it?
I had to use the buttons on my computer or the mouse since, like, I had a lot. It was brutal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've done gigs where you go in and they go, yeah, you're going to go up. You're going to do 30 minutes. We need you to be totally clean. And you can't mention, use the word the. Like, and you're like, okay. You know, like, yeah. What do I do here?
I'm sure you do kind of know what it, yeah, you know it more than me, because that's really the only bad one I had. But I mean, sure, I'll have more. You know, and I was due a bad one. I was like, okay.
One time it comes with the territory of performing in general. Like, you know, I always look at musicians and I get jealous because I'm like, you can just be background music and it's fine. Like, just like, get me out of here. No one's going to like you. I need the response from a crowd. One time I did a show at a minor league baseball stadium, and I went on after the game, but before they were going to do a fireworks display. So I came on stage there. So the game ends and this guy goes to the middle of the field with a microphone. It's like 1,100 people, like little kids. Who's at a minor league baseball game? And this guy goes to the center of the thing and he goes, hey, who's ready for the fireworks? And these kids are like, ah! Like they go crazy. And then he goes, but first, we're going to have some stand-up comedy. And these kids, like you'd see like 8-year-olds turning to their moms like, what the fuck is stand-up comedy? Like they're like, what's going on? And I went out there and bombed for the longest 10 minutes of my life. And then I was like, good night, everybody. And then the fireworks went off. And I was like, man. So you get in these situations, and it's all situational, like having the drunk guy greet you. You're like, here we go.
Yep.
No button. Here's another thing. You know, like, you know it from the hotel check-in.
Yeah, it's like this could be one of those. But you're right. So when you're up on stage, it's just kind of interesting because, like, people know, or like they can feel it. People know when you fuck up. Like if I fuck up, the only people that notice are DJs, honestly. Like your
sure.
friend, like horrible transition. But if I drop a banger in, if I drop a song that everybody loves, it's like, oh, all of a sudden the party's back. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the beauty of like old jokes I know work. Like, oh, if I try this new one, like I'm just going to play Olivia Rodrigo at some point, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to play Fall Out Boy and it'll bring the crowd back.
Absolutely. Well, Blake, this is amazing. Is there any, what are your predictions for the season? Do you have a prediction, a final? What do you think's going to go down?
I think Katie and Blake are going to end up together. Yeah. I think they're great together. I think from the beginning when I already was on the season, I was like, damn, they actually are going to work really well together. So I think that's who's going to finish. I think Justin goes home this week, and it comes down to Greg and Blake, personally.
So, did you know Blake before he came on the show? Or
yeah,
you
I did.
Him, hung out with him?
Yeah, he reached out to me after his first Bachelorette season, just for advice.
This guy DMs everybody.
Yeah, we actually had a couple really good conversations right after the show. So, I know him pretty well, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, when I heard he was on it, I was like, okay. I was like, all right.
You could sense the vibe. You could see that this was going to go well. I have one last question, and this comes up on our podcast a lot. How do these Bachelor alumni get-togethers happen? Like, you kind of see them, you know, every now and again, you're on Instagram stories, you see a hang in New York, you see a Nashville hang, do you see a San Diego hang? You know, Austin gets in there, Denver, every now and again. Mm-hmm. Does it happen around a sponsorship, or is it more natural?
Most of the time, it's pretty natural. There are sponsorships. There's like, you know, like podcasts or whatever, like something like that, or like a concert maybe where we get all free tickets. But honestly, it's just a weird family that all of a sudden you're in. It's like very incestual family, but like it is a family. And it's a weird thing where any city you go to, pretty much major city, like you have a couch to crash on. And that's pretty cool. But like this
plus
week
you have something. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll say this weekend I'm playing in Cleveland. I'm doing a DJ set in Cleveland on Friday. And I just DM'd Michael. He lives out there. And I was like, dude, you want to come to my DJ set? He's like, yeah, man, I think I'm going to. So I think Michael might come to my sets, you know, Friday. So it's just like this weird thing where you just, it's like an understood, I don't know, thing. Where
he
like
didn't say he couldn't leave his kid forever. And he he was able to find a sitter. So
I'm coming to the club. I don't know what you're talking about.
So I, it is, no, that's interesting. I would assume you guys all share an experience.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that no one else can understand. That's got to be a, is there ever someone that hangs around? Like, is there an age limit? Like, is there a part, is there a Bachelor alumni that like keeps coming around? That like, is there someone that like is the guy that's at hanging out at the high school parties too long? Who is known as that person?
I've actually never really thought about that. And I'm going to, I love this guy to death. Actually, he lives here in Denver. Chris Bukowski. You know, that dude's been on six different shows. He's, no, but I love that guy. He's a big good
like
friend.
He's the Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. They stay the same age.
Yeah. No, I love that guy, though. He's great. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because actually, now that I think about it, when we're out with other Bachelor people, I completely forget ages. It's kind of weird now I think about it. Because like, I do hang with some like younger, because I'm 32. I do hang with some pretty young Bachelor people, so I've never really thought about it. Maybe well, I'm that's that what, guy, Jared. Maybe I'm that guy.
Well, that's what I always bring that up every season when I'm like thinking of like contestants going on the show. You're like, you know, I always look at the age, but like they're also the similar personalities. The you know, the personality that would go on a reality show is somewhat similar at 24 than it is to 32, I would assume.
Yep.
But I would assume also if I was 36 living in a house with some 23-year-old dudes, I'd be like, I got to get the fuck out of here. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. You know,
I'm wrong here. We actually talked about that last night. Me and Chris were hanging out and he was like, his friend was like, dude, you have such a rubber arm. Like, I barely have to convince you to do anything. I'm like, yeah, that's why we were on the television show. Like, that's why we were to be on The Bachelorette.
What's a rubber arm?
Yeah. Like a rubber arm where like you stand strong, you say no. And then all of a sudden you kind of just like go limp and you go and do whatever people say. Like if it's a Tuesday night and people invite me out, I'm like, no, you're like, please? And I'm like, okay, I'll be there in a minute.
You're down to hang. Is
yeah,
there?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
No. Well, listen, Blake, this was fantastic. We're pumped to have you on The Bachelor. Everyone go follow Blake at balake.h if you don't already. And also his podcast, Behind the Rose Podcast. I was a guest on there. It's a fantastic show. Everyone go get subscribed, rate, review, do all the kind things that are great. Do you have any gigs coming up that people can, this comes out tomorrow. So you said you're in Cleveland. Is there like, where can people go?
Yeah, I'm at Cleveland this Friday at Barley House Cleveland. And then in 2 weeks, I'm out in Nashville playing Blended Fest Music Fest. I'm like opening up for like Cascade and Blanco Brown and all these big guys. So come out to that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Nashville. Great. That's going to be so much fun. I was just there. I mean, that town is just out of control. So thank you, Blake, for coming on. This has been The Bachelor. We'll be back with a regular episode following the hometowns.
Betches.